Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products for your animals for a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author and national spokesperson for the USDA APHIS Biosecurity for Birds program. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer is a nationally broadcast radio show all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, and urban gardening. Each week, we welcome experts in their field from around the country to share their knowledge and teach us all about their field of specialty. Thanks to our wonderful sponsors, we have given away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone in the world, and we are the home to the Chicken Coops for Classrooms contest. It is now time for another great episode, so sit back, enjoy the show, and we'll be right back after this short commercial break.
ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that dog, cat, horse, or chicken lover, then look no further than HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a wide selection of gifts for both the home and farm. My favorite is the chicken noodle soup with noodles shaped like chickens. I'm sure you'll find everything you're looking for at HobbyHillFarm.com. That's HobbyHillFarm.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Establish
established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
No, it's not Super Chicken. It's just Andy the Chicken Whisperer coming at you from Blog Talk Radio. And it is now time to introduce my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author, the one, the only, the multi-talented. Got to be careful when she has a cup of coffee on Fridays, however, Pat Foreman.
Hey, Whisper. Well, no coffee today, so you can proceed with great abandon. But my goodness, sounds like you've had quite a morning. What'd you go through, baby?
Oh, it was great. We just it took a little bit longer for us to renew our concealed carry permits down at the courthouse. So, but we were thinking on the way down there, you know, it's about 9 miles over to the next town, to the county seat where the county courthouse is, and it was about 9:30 this morning, and we were heading that way, and in that 10 mile trip, we came across about 3 cars. And we were thinking about, well, it's about 9:30 in Atlanta, and if we would have gone 30 feet, we would have encountered about 3 million cars. So it was it started out very fun this morning, kind of reminiscing about the hot Atlanta and the 3 cars we saw on our 10-mile drive this morning. And but we got there, and it was a unique experience. We found out that they no longer officially do any type of renewals for concealed carry permits. You got to go through the whole process every time. And the fees, of course, have gone up, obviously, and I guess that's government for you. And then you have to walk next door to the sheriff's office and get, you know, all the fingerprints and all that. And it just took a little longer than we expected, even though it's a small town and small county, and I think it's because they used a typewriter instead of a computer. But nonetheless,
really, they had a typewriter instead of a manual typewriter.
Manual typewriter. So I love it. I'm here. I love it. Well, the city of Ideal, the city hall, got their very first computer about 3 years ago. So one flashing light, and we just got that pretty recently. So it took a little bit longer than we thought. So thank you very much for everybody's understanding. So we're going to have a very short host chat. We're not going to do chickens in the news today. We will post those later on our Facebook, and that'll just save us some more for tomorrow. And then we'll get right in to our special guest segment, which, of course, being the first Thursday of the month, is Poultry Today with Dr. McCray. So without further ado, Pat, we'll go ahead and bring on Dr. McCray. And today's topic, of course, lots of people showed interest over the last 24 hours when we posted it. Insect control around the coop and run. So lots of people are interested in that. We know chickens love to eat all kinds of critters, but we're going to talk about this, how it kind of relates to biosecurity. So, Dr. McCray, welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone. Boy, what a morning for you.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't bad. Talked to a lot of folks, and it was all good. It's just one of those things you have to do. And I wasn't about, you know, I could have made it back here in time because I got done with my process, and then Jen had to go through hers. And I just thought, you know what? I do not want to go through this mess tomorrow. I want to get this checked off my list and get it done with. So I'll just walk outside and fire up the old BlackBerry. Luckily, I had service to let all the listeners know. And by far, the census was, if there's a valid reason to delay the show, by golly, that's one of them.
You're concealed and carry, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
Whisper, and somebody, you never quite told us what you're concealing and carrying.
Well,
I think Jen's
on what,
concealing more than him right now.
Jen's. Exactly. Absolutely. So, Yeah, exactly. But that people were saying, somebody said, well, I thought, being a chicken whisperer, that you would have your own bodyguard rooster. And and I responded to that by saying, well, actually, our attack roosters patrol the perimeter of our compound.
Nice.
Yep, our attack roosters can to maintain and control order along the perimeter of our compound. So that's where we would utilize our attack roosters. So absolutely. Yeah, it was a great morning, but we're glad to be broadcasting live here, and we got a great topic today. And we're just going to turn it over
well,
to...
Well, we already have a really good question in the chat room.
That.
It's not
yeah.
exactly the same as what I was going to cover, but I would like to take a moment to address the question.
Great.
A question by RedHawk2060 says specifically, what do you do to keep red mites away? And basically... it turns right back down to, guess what, folks? Let's see if folks can pop that special word right into the chat room box. What's the word that I always seem to be talking about? It starts with a B.
Let's
see if anybody puts it in there. Anybody like Rhode Island Ruby, remember, or Walter Kratz, or Walter Rad, sorry. Nobody's answering?
Rhode Island Ruby. Come on, you know the answer to this.
How about Granny Kathy? Is she paying attention?
I'm the official national spokesperson for the program. There we go.
Yes,
Gray Artist.
There
got
we go. Thank you, Gray Artist. You did it. There we go. Yes, it basically ties back to your biosecurity. What are you doing to allow red mites in the first place? So they don't magically appear. Mites do not teleport themselves onto chickens. No, sorry, it may seem that way, but my gosh, you need to have good biosecurity, which means you brought them in or they were already on the birds if you bought new birds. If you have your birds run loose and they come in contact with wild birds, they can enter through that route, especially if wild birds can get into your coop area. They'll perch on something, and a few mites will crawl off, and then those mites will realize that they're not on a bird and go find some place to hide, and then at night they start crawling around looking for something to eat off of, and that's your chicken. So that is basically how transmission of mites can occur. Or if they're already on chickens that you just bought and... you didn't quarantine them long enough. You didn't inspect your chickens. Equipment can also be a source. If you bought used equipment or borrowed equipment from someone else, it can be in the nooks and crannies of that. So, yeah, East Dallas Dave's got a good idea. Post a sign. It's got to be really small, Dave, though. No red mites allowed. But, you know, they're not red all the time, Dave. They are kind of a brownish-gray color before a blood meal. And that blood meal is when they start to look red. They start to engorge themselves on the chicken's blood, and then they appear red. So, yes, it goes right back to your biosecurity. What are you doing to let red mites waltz right in? So maybe it means, well, definitely means spring clean-out. Anytime you see mites of any sort, not only you have to start the treatment regimen for the birds, but you got to treat the environment too, because they're there in every nook and cranny. If you've seen them on the birds or you suspect they're attacking your birds, it's time for a full clean out, and that's a lot of work. All right, so I'm going to switch gears and talk about insect control programs in your coop. I know we talked about this last year, but not every listener that tuned in last year remembers all of the details. So it's a good opportunity for you to relearn the information that I presented last year. And for those of you who are brand new, well, here you go. The first time around for your ears. An insect control program means that we're going to take a look at the types of insects that can affect your flock, how to perform surveillance around your coop. Because if you're not looking for something, then you don't know if it's there and affecting your birds. And you don't want your chickens to be sick in order for you to find out, oh, I've got a problem. Then we're going to talk about sanitation and prevention. Then we're going to talk a little bit about manure management, because that ties into a couple of other insect species, and we're going to talk about some other control methods. So let's get started with types of insects.
Great.
We're talking about the housefly. And Andy, don't you get that question all the time when people call you about changing ordinances?
Hmm.
And won't insects be a problem? Doesn't manure attract flies? Don't you get that question?
Oh, yeah.
And what do you tell them?
Good husbandry practices is the key.
You got it.
Uh-huh.
So if you've got a housefly problem, number one, look around your farm. Where are they coming from? It might actually come from your neighbor, and you're getting the blame. So look carefully. The average housefly has a life cycle, get this, 7 to 10 days. Talk about short and sweet. Well, not necessarily sweet, considering where they lay their eggs. But they only tend to become active when the temperature outside gets above 70 degrees Fahrenheit. So at night, you'll see that they'll land on stuff and not want to move readily. So, you know, they're inactive at night and definitely inactive below 45 degrees Fahrenheit. So when it gets, you know, cold at night, as it's been doing in certain parts of the country, those flies are going to land and just stay put. So if you see a particular wall on your house or within the coop, it's just covered in flies, then you need to start paying attention to where are they hatching from. Then the little housefly, it's different from the housefly. The little housefly is that little fania fly that just kind of hangs out and just hovers. And when you swat at them, they just kind of like gently move out of the way and then go right back to where they were. They're very annoying. Very, very annoying. They have a little bit longer life cycle. Excuse me. 18 to 22 days. And you're going to know that they're different from the housefly because they just hover. They're very annoying. And then what kind of mosquito tends to bug people the most in the mornings and the evenings?
The ones that bite.
Ones that bite, yep. It starts with an M. Sorry, starting to cough here. Mosquitoes. Oh, my goodness. Mosquitoes bother us. Mosquitoes bother other livestock, and certainly they can bother chickens. So mosquitoes, yeah, they can't bite through a feather so much, but, you know, there's parts of a chicken's that aren't covered by feathers. Okay, surveillance. All you need to do, really, is take a white index card and go tack it up inside your coop or outside your coop, wherever you think you see the most flies, and take it down every week and take a look at it. If you have more than 100 fly specks, and you know what fly specks are, they're little fly poops, then you've got a problem. And that's a really low-cost, easy way for you to monitor the problem. Now, mosquitoes, on the other hand, if you're getting bit every time you go outside, the more likely your chickens are getting bit, too. Another option for you is for surveillance for flies would be sticky fly tape. And you can get that at any feed store or hardware store. And you can just stick those up inside the coop out of the reach of chickens, because as soon as that first fly gets on there and starts buzzing its way around, your chickens are going to be real interested in that fly tape. So make sure it's out of their reach, please. There's nothing more messy than trying to pull fly tape out of feathers. That is a mess. Okay, sanitation. Why do flies come in the first place? Well, if you keep a filthy, dirty mess, you're going to attract flies. And if you're trying to change ordinances or prove to your neighbors that you are a good keeper of poultry, you want to, of course, remove and dispose of any dead birds. Remove and dispose of manure. Compost it or put it out in the trash. Any feed spills, if they get wet, they start to ferment. And that's a great breeding ground for chicken, for flies, okay? Because those fly larvae can eat that chicken feed. If you have any weed-filled drainage ditches around your property, you need to clean those out. Get them to drain so that you don't start breeding what? What do you think, Pat? What could you breed in drainage ditches?
Oh, mosquitoes, of course.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bunches of them. Billions of them.
Yes, unfortunately. Yes. If you can, when you put your downspouts to your house or even your chicken house, have it drain into a rain barrel that has a screen over the top, or have it drain straight into a drain or away from the house and the chicken house. You don't want puddles. We're hitting the raining season now. You need to start going around your property and emptying out old flower pots, dump those. You want to remove any water-filled tires. Oh, my gosh, those are infamous for mosquito breeding sites. So you need to walk around your property and do that spring cleaning. It's time to get rid of those water sources where those lovely mosquitoes breed. All right. Prevention. Fix leaks. If your water leaks all the time and it's time for you to buy a new one, just go get a new one. Don't try to fix the old one, because if it continues to leak, then you're going to have something underneath your water called mud cake. And that's another great area for flies to breed. They need moisture in order to have their young do well and mature well in litter or the floor of your chicken house. Avoid standing water. And if you are out there thinking about building your first coop, adjust the floor so that there's a slight grade that goes away from your chicken coop. You want to grade the ground so that the water does not drain into the coop. It drains away from the coop. Chickens do not like walking around in giant muddy messes as much as the next animal. If you can dry your manure, do the best you can to ventilate or dry your manure or put it directly into a compost pile. Also, keep your birds cool. Now, this is important. Chickens that are too hot will increase their water intake, which translates to wet manure, which translates to perfect breeding ground for flies. So keep your birds as cool as you possibly can. That's another good reason why you need to increase the insulation in your coop. If you have any pipes, like you're sharing a space in a barn for your chicken coop, prevent condensation all over pipes by putting insulation on those pipes. And if you can, use an absorbent litter like shavings, something that's easy to clean up. And, of course, if you are mixing your own feed and you're not sure about the salt content of it, stick with a pre-mixed feed, one where you know what the salt content is, so that you avoid, once again, wet manure. A feed that is laxative to a chicken, or one that disturbs the chicken's gut, is going to cause wet manure again. So provide a balanced diet so that you don't end up with wet manure and a fly problem, which doesn't take very long to have a fly problem on your property. About a week. Okay, let's talk a little bit about manure management. You need to remove manure weekly, because this will actually break the life cycle of flies. If you can, if the weather is nice and hot outside, scatter it thinly outside. Avoid just dumping it in a pile unless you're doing compost. And that is more of a purposeful pile rather than just walking out into the middle of the field with your wheelbarrow and just going dump without spreading it out. Because you're actually going to have more flies that way. Drying out that litter is going to actually kill the eggs and kill the larvae if there are any larvae there. So that's part of your manure management. What methods do you use, Pat, at your farm?
For what, cleaning out the manure?
For manure management, yes.
Yeah, I use a little bit of a different management. What I like to do is you put a lot of that sweet PDZ in the bottom of the coop. I have a coop with a floor that's really secure, and then I've got little thresholds around where the chickens' roost is on the floor to gather, and then I fill that full of wood shavings, so they mix their poop in with their wood shavings, and I've got about 6 inches of threshold, so they can get a pretty good layer in there. And then I'll I know you're not going to approve of this, but I do it anyway. I toss some scratch in there on top, and they get in, and they mix it up. They fluff up that the wood shavings in with the manure, and that locks up the nitrogen and keeps the smells down and keeps the flies and the larvae down. And
so you're basically drying everything out through
the
chickens.
Well, the chickens are doing their job. They tidy their bed up every night. And we started doing this when we had goats in a little mini barn, and we put some chickens down there, not for eggs or not for anything else except to keep the goat bedding fluffed up. We'd toss that scratch in there, and they'd go keep the smells. And of course, they eat the flies and the larvae as they were scratching through there. And then about every quarter or so, we'd just clean it out and put it in the garden. So that's my method, and it's worked well for years.
How about you,
I call it
Andy?
Deep mulch method.
That's right. You did put that in your book, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. It works beautifully. And the nice thing is too is that manure gets the manure is diluted and the nitrogen gets locked up by the wood shaving. So I can put it on my fruit trees directly. I don't have to compost it, which is another one less handling situation. So that's sort of my permaculture way of handling chicken bedding and manure.
Do you think you might try the index card just to see what it does once a week, what you see on it?
The index card, well, I guess I could.
Well, you can. They're easily found. You can get them at, like, say, Staples or Office Depot or any place that sells recipe cards, and you can just count the little black dots on there and see where you're at throughout the season once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't recommend that you keep a fly strike journal.
No, I can't stand those. You ever gotten one caught in your hair? It's horrible. Just absolutely miserable. Yeah.
Oh, I've had those fly sticky traps stuck in my hair. Oh, that's horrible.
Ooh.
You want
to
talk
horrible. Had to cut it
horrible.
Out.
No, thankfully. Oh.
Yeah.
But how about you, Andy? What is your manure management method?
For the most part, putting it in the compost bin or the compost pile and then just turning it whenever we, you know, have to turn it or decide to turn it. And then off it goes into the garden or wherever it may go.
Okay. All right. Now let's talk about other control methods, because you can use other methods than just drying things out. You can do cultural or physical, biological, mechanical, or if you want to go the route, you can use chemical methods. Okay. If you use cultural or physical control, the manure moisture average is about 60 to 80%. Fly breeding requires 50 to 85% moisture. So if you dry out your litter, there will be no fly breeding at less than 30% moisture. So get the manure out, spread it. That's kind of like what Pat was describing, slightly different though. Something else you could do, you could put out fly parasites. They do exist. There's little tiny wasps out there called Spalangia nigroania. There we go. I got that word out. And you can also, well, they're parasitoids. You can get them at commercial insect farms, and what they'll do is they'll go after the fly pupae. So you will have fewer flies on your farm, but you need to be careful with insecticides, because if you spray for insects, you're also going to kill your tiny little wasps, your fly parasites. So be careful with your insecticides. You will have to probably do multiple releases with large numbers of your fly parasites in order to get enough control over the years, because eventually some will pass away, some will migrate to other areas, and your flies, if you are unable to manage your moisture in your area, your flies will keep coming. Let's talk about mechanical control. Chickens don't like to be bothered by flies all the time. So if you can, with your coop, put screens over the doors and screens over the windows to keep those tiny insects out, mosquitoes and flies, then that's great. It's physical exclusion. You can also put out traps. You can use electrical traps with that black light that has the charge grids, and you can hear them go zap, zap all night long. Or you could do baits, like something with a fly attractant. And you can buy all different styles of those at your feed store. And even those little sticky traps, they have a little bit of fly attractant on them as well. And it's also an easy part of a good sanitation program. As you do your weekly clean out, you change out your bait trap, okay? So, unfortunately, baited traps aren't great if you have all of a sudden been hit hard with major heavy numbers. You might use it as a backup method after you take care of some control with perhaps chemicals. So let's talk about chemical controls. You've got space sprays, mists, and fogs. There's also something called a residual spray, but I'll talk about that in just a moment. For a quick knockdown with no residual activity, you can use a space spray, a mist, or a fog. And they're effective against the adult flies. What you'll do is you'll move your chickens out of the coop or out of the barn and fill the room with that space spray. If anybody's ever had to fog their house for fleas, you know what I'm talking about. It's like set it, leave it, go see a movie, and then come back and deal with the leftovers. Okay, residual sprays. This I like a little bit more. You treat the building surfaces. And what you can do is the residual spray stays on that building surface. And when the fly goes to land on it later, there will be residual effect. Trouble is, you can get some resistance. And if there's a huge old layer of dust covering your surfaces, then when the fly lands, it's not even going to come in contact with your residual spray. I'd say use this sparingly. Use it as a last resort. Okay, fly bait. There's dry baits that you can put out and spread into open areas, but you need to keep it away from animals. If you have loose chickens, this is not something you want to use around your loose birds. When you spread it around, do not contaminate food or water that your birds could be eating and drinking from. Something else you can use are larvicides. It's a spot treatment. It's not for manure piles, and if you have this one spot that always, that's where the flies seem to come from, you can't get it to drain, it's just a forever problem. Keep in mind, if you're going to use a larvicide, it can hurt your beneficial insects, like when I said those tiny little wasps. Larvicides, you can also get resistance. Another subject, which I need to do more research on personally, are resin strips. That's something that you can put out that is another chemical control method. But as I said, I need to do more research on that to see who's got what and what the pluses and minuses are for resin strips.
question in the chat room. Would any of these sprays hurt any of the birds at any time?
Like, say, the space sprays?
Or the fog?
Yeah, you definitely want to leave your birds outside when you're using those space sprays. Move your birds out of the area where you're trying to do that quick knockdown of huge numbers of mosquitoes or flies. Apply the spray or set the spray, and then come back later and air it out, and then let the birds back in. And that will be your quick knockdown method. You'll probably have to sweep up a few of the flies to get them, you know, out of the way. But first and foremost, what you need to ask yourself is, where are these flies coming from? Where are they breeding at? And how do I, you know, stop them from doing that activity? Can I clean out the space where they're coming from? Now, if they're coming from, say, a big old marsh behind your property, and there's not much you're going to be able to do about that. You're not going to be able to drain the marsh just because your chickens are getting bit by mosquitoes. State tends to frown upon that. So it's more of an exclusion factor at that time for your birds, keeping those mosquitoes out. Other questions?
You can send out the guineas to eat the mosquitoes. Just head them out to the marshes there or whatever.
Yeah, I don't have much research that says that mosquitoes are efficient at removing mosquito populations, but wouldn't that be nice? So space sprays tend not to have much in the way of residues. The residual sprays do. That's the difference. That was one of the questions in your chat room. Let's see. Other questions. Special predators that we can order to eat flies. And, oh dear, where'd that question go? Eat flies, fleas, etc. As I said, you can get parasitoids, and they will do that job for you, but you have to do multiple releases and in large numbers. So you can order those from commercial insectaries. Any other questions from those who are listening in the chat room? Anybody ever tried those commercial parasitoids before?
Oh, we did when we had the farm. They work quite nicely. They're very good.
I'll say.
We don't have, over the last many years, we do try to keep good husbandry practices, and I'm trying to think in all the years trying to remember when we thought to ourselves even to think, wow, the flies are bad this year, or, you know, what's up with the flies this year, or, you know, and it very, very few. There might have been one, maybe 2 years over, the last decade where we had enough flies to even make that comment or that observation. Is there are there good years, bad years, or I guess, you know, is there, based on fly population, is it just based on that immediate area? And I know you talked about flies not living very long, but do you know their range? Like bees will fly so far away, flies, do they pretty much stay concentrated in one area? So I guess one question is,
they're going to stay where the food is and the breeding source is. So they'll stay pretty close to home. If there's a good area for them to find food and continue breeding. Now, when they start ranging beyond that is when they're starting to look for new places to breed. They're looking for new food sources, and sometimes that's your chicken manure, and they will just swarm you.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Overnight. It's true.
I have to say, I've got my chicken house pretty close to our house here, probably 30 feet, and we can sit on the deck in the summer evening. It's really rare to have any kind of a fly problem, not even really that much of a mosquito problem. So with proper management, it cannot be an issue with smaller family flocks. And I've got about 40 birds, I guess, somewhere between 35 and 40. So it's, if you have a 3 or 4 or 6, of course, that'd be even less manure to manage. So just having birds does not mean automatically that you have flies. I've walked my
right
talk in that area.
Right.
Right.
Now, one of the people in the chat room said that they wanted to use an eco spray made with peppermint and thyme, and et cetera. Is that okay for my birds? There's no research on that, and therefore there's no information for me to give you. I don't know if it's safe for your birds. Someone else said, what about putting out white vinegar and diatomaceous earth? Again, we don't know what diatomaceous earth is going to do to your gut of your birds, and white vinegar just changes the pH of the surface that you're applying it to, only for a short period of time, or for the water that you're putting it in. If you're trying to get rid of mosquitoes by putting white vinegar in there, you're better off just dumping the water source and making sure that dries up. If you have a pond in your yard, put in goldfish. They eat larvae, and that'll help take care of the problem. But one of the things you can do is look for fly larvae in those water sources. You'll see them. They break the surface with their little tails, and if you come up to the surface, they can see you very well, and you'll see them kind of skitter away down further to the bottom of the water source, hoping that you won't eat them. That's why they're moving away. And so you know you need to take care of that water source right away by dumping it or putting in perhaps goldfish, if that's something that you want to do.
Yeah, that's a wonderful way to manage mosquito larvae.
Mm-hmm.
Just a slight thin layer of oil on the top also suffocates the little boogers, and that's sometimes used. It can just be olive oil or just any kind of light oil that's food grade.
You can, yes. But depending on, you know, if this is your family pond, that's not really an option. But
right.
Whatever you have, you know, available to you, take advantage of some of those solutions and really analyze your space and see what you could be doing different. Perhaps you have an older neighbor who's let their garden get a little overgrown and they've got water sources for mosquitoes, and that's where all your mosquitoes are coming from. Volunteer your time to go over there and help them with their yard work, and it'll benefit you too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in many cities they have a terrible problem with mosquitoes because of just residual water in gutters or in little bird baths or just these little tiny pools that are around, and kind of keeping a surveillance on those and getting them drained can go to a huge, huge amount.
And mosquitoes transmit fowl pox too.
Yep. We've got about 70 seconds left. Where does the time go? Well, I can tell you.
Oh, my goodness.
If I ever started the show on time today, we'd still be yapping. But, I just looked at the time, and it's like 70 seconds left. So, Dr. McCray, thank you very much for joining us today, sharing all your knowledge regarding the insect control. Sorry we were late getting started, but great topic, and we'll look forward to seeing you here in the next couple of weeks again.
Sure thing.
All righty, Pat, your turn. Take it away.
Okay. Well, today our special guest was Dr. Bridget McCray. She's with the Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources at Delaware State University, and we were talking about pest and insect control. Thank you, Dr. McCray. And thanks again to all our sponsors. Where would we be without our sponsors? And, of course, Andy Schneider, thanks to you for bringing us all together, even if you are concealing whatever it is that you're concealing to get a license for. Thanks to blogtalkradio.com for providing the radio, chat, and the video services. Blessings to all. We love you all so much, and may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody.
Bye.